Family is a complicated thing. Even if our families are perfect and everyone in the family gets along with one another, families are still complicated realities. There's always the uncle who doesn't seem to quite fit in, or the aunt that has opinions that probably should be best kept to herself, or cousins living on the fringes, complicating everyone's life when they drop in, buzz, and then leave again. And then we are presented today in this octave of the Epiphany with the celebration of the Holy Family, which the Church teaches us are given to us precisely as the model and the direction for how family life should actually be. And I find myself slightly disconcerted and frustrated, because there is no St. Joseph in my family. And as much as I loved my mother, she was not the Blessed Virgin Mary. And none of my siblings, contrary to what they might think about themselves, are my Savior or yours. So what am I to make of this feast, and how am I to model myself after them? I'm not Jesus, Mary, or Joseph. But in truth, the mystery of the Incarnation is precisely to reveal to us that actually we can be. The Lord, of course, does not set us up for failure or put before us tasks that cannot be completed or asks us to be something that we cannot be, most especially when we are armed with His grace. And so I must pull back and then re-engage. Take a second, third look at the feast itself, and realize that the holiness of this family is derived not only because each individual member of this family is indeed holy, but the manner in which they came together to form this communio is the exemplar of holiness as well. In truth, if we were to boil it down to one virtue that seems to bind and hold all of them together, it is a love that manifests itself in forbearance and patience. Of course, St. Paul, in his exhortation to the Colossians, speaks about virtue, mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, putting aside grievances as we put on the new man who is Christ. Certainly, yes, the life of virtue is key to the reality of family dynamics. It isn't as if every family will indeed be absent of difficulties, including this holy family, the Lord Himself born in a manger, and then shortly after His birth having to flee to a foreign country because people were trying to kill Him, and then even returning to His native land, not being given the freedom to go to His native place. And of course, our gospel today detailing our Lord remaining behind in the temple to be in His Father's house. These are the aspects of this family dynamic that have been given to us, but I'm sure that there were other difficulties and trials that they had to endure as they sought to live as God the Father intended them to live. So family life should never be, if you will, the hallmark, the absence of difficulty, the absence of struggle. If that is your goal for your family or how you look back upon your family, then sadly, you're making life much more difficult for yourself because you're asking for something that cannot be given. If it then is not the absence of difficulty, for what should we be looking? It is precisely that forbearance, that patience that grew out of that great virtue of love. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, obedient to His Heavenly Father out of love. Our Lady, so filled with love that God Himself chose to make His dwelling in her womb. And St. Joseph, the righteous man, a righteousness rooted in love. And of course, the highest example of love is the cross that our Lord Himself will mount. So lest there be any confusion, to love, which is central to life and family dynamics, requires a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness to die, in order that the others that you love might live. This is, after all, what the Church teaches us, that the fullness of love is not contained or reduced to mere emotion or gratification, but rather the true essence of love is sacrifice and selflessness. If I say I love you, then I want and desire and will your good more than my own. I'm willing to let go of myself in order that you can thrive. I'm willing to die in order that you might live. And in order for this to be successful in family dynamics, it cannot be reduced to mere pious platitudes, giving lip service to this, but in those moments of difficulty, running away, or simply giving up and giving over to the world. Steadfastness and obedience to where we find ourselves as mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and children to each other in our immediate families, but even in this family, the family in one sense of our choosing, the place where we come to pray and to give ourselves over to God. This family likewise requires that same forbearance, that same patience that's rooted in love. If this is going to work, is it about obedience? To a certain degree, yes, we all must do what we are commanded to do. But beyond just mere discipline, there must always be this motivation to love completely and totally. And the reason why we are motivated to do so is because we ourselves have first been loved. Loved into existence. Loved into being reborn again upon the cross of our Savior. Loved again by the power of the Holy Spirit, who continues to enliven us, strengthen us, and give us the abilities we need to live rightly in the world. And so Our Lady and Saint Joseph, the beloved spouse, they lose the greatest treasure ever bestowed upon them. But they return, maybe with a certain degree of panic, but never with a loss of faith, only to be met with this response from our Lord, who doesn't seem to be concerned about their anxiety or their worry or their fear at his loss, but instead himself speaks truth. I had to be about my Father's business. And maybe that is the hallmark for all of us. What must I do with my life? Of what does my life consist? What is the direction of my life? The answer again and again is I must be about my Father's business. However that might be particularized, and for each of us it is specific, but all of us share this common project of doing the things that God commands us to do. And doing them because we love God, because God is worthy of our love. And then out of that loving relationship, where we strive for fidelity and constancy, we then are able to bear well the faults and the failings of those that we love. We are able to speak truth when truth needs to be spoken, and we're able to be patient when God's grace needs to work according to his plan. That, my brothers and sisters, may be the most difficult thing about family dynamics. When do I push and when do I back away? When do I admonish and exhort? And when do I allow God's grace to do what it's supposed to do? We may never know through our own natural devices the right or wrong time, but if we are in relationship with God, if we are men and women of prayer, we can then listen to his voice, and he will be the one that will tell us when we need to speak and when we need to be silent. He will be the one that will give us an infinite amount of patience for the faults and failings of others, who likewise have that same amount of patience for us. But he will also tell us those moments when we must admonish our brothers and sisters to live, to lead, and live better lives. This is how family thrives and grows. This is how family, that basic cell of society and culture, becomes an instrument of transformation for society and culture. Now, outside of these walls and this bubble in which we live at times, the things that I'm saying, the things you believe, simply are not accepted. Actually, quite the opposite is true. There is a hostility toward us. a desire to see us gone, because as long as we are here as the just man himself, we remain a rebuke to the unjust. We become a living reminder that there is not only a different way, but a better way for men and women to live in harmony, and in truth, the only and the right way for men and women to live in harmony. If we allow ourselves to get caught up in the world and the temptations that the world sets before us, it then is easy to give over to the laziness that it creates. And then that laziness leads to a disintegration of family, which of course has led to the disintegration of society. These things are not complicated or confusing. They become so precisely when we war against God, when we seek our own wants, when we fail to love. But if we love as we have been loved, and we love as we know we ought to love, we can there bear anything and everything, most especially the sacrifice of ourselves, which is at the heart of our spiritual lives. You must carry your crosses. And maybe this feast reminds us that if you cannot do it for your own salvation, then do it for those that you love. Because oftentimes, that's an easier motivation to live a good life. Left to my own devices, I may be given into my darker impulses and my laziness and tepidity. But because I love, and I want well for those that I do love, then I likewise will do the best I can for them. And so, yes, our families may not be perfect, but we can certainly strive for that perfection. And in truth, we should. Precisely because, as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph model for us, the success in this is to use well the blessings and graces God bestows upon you in obedience, and in that cooperation to always be mindful that I do what I do, and I am who I am, because I seek to love in the love that has been bestowed upon me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.